Let's pick a text. Matthew 26. Now, verse 40 and verse 41. And he cometh, that is Jesus, unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and said unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Another one, 2 Corinthians, before we see that, chapter 2 and verse 11. 2 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. Let's sit down and be attentive to this very important exhortation. We are continuing the second part of the enemies of revival. There is a revival that is going on now. That revival is a threefold. One, it is a revival that is worldwide, within the entire message. God is reviving the message again. Oh yes. With the kind of testimonies we are hearing, God is reviving the entire message again. It is that revival that has caused most of you listening to me now, your attention to this ministry and to the ministry of William Mary Abraham. It is that revival. The message is not new in Nigeria. Since early 1970s, it came into this country. And some of you have been Christians all these years. And you have studied, you have gone to schools of theology, you are reverend doctor, you have been promoted, you've been in Christian activities for so long. And if they mention men of God that God has used, you mention all the big names, but you never knew anything about that man, William Mary Abraham. But suddenly, something is going on that has called your attention to the ministry of that man. It is a product of that revival. All of you watching us from around the world, I received a text late last night. That text message says, I have deleted all other Christian stations in my decoder. I am focusing only on the Bride television. And then he added, he said, please, who is this man, William Graham? How can I know about him? He's the product of the revival. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And all over, suddenly there is an awakening. It's a revival. Something happened and he died. When this message came to Nigeria, it was fire, fire, fire. There is a big church that collected that fire in Nigeria at Ifako. Some of you are from that church. Grace and Truth Tabernacle. I heard from members, Pastor Thomas was a minister in that church. Praise the Lord. I heard from members that the early members of that church, it was about the same period that the revival of Deeper Life was on. That was the two revivals we are going on. And the members of Deeper Life at that time they were as religious as one church that is near us here. If you are not a member of Deeper Life, that time you are not a Christian. Oh my, they believe they were deeper, deeper. All others, they are just saying. I was told, one or two of them told me, how that they used to go and look for trouble. The bosses that Deeper Life will hire for Thursday program at Bagada, that they will enter inside and begin to preach. And they will tell them there is nothing like Trinity. And they tell them water baptism is in the name of Jesus. He said they will carry them moving bus and throw them aside. You heretics. The fire was on. And there was the 11th hour evangelistic ministry from that church. Brethren in that ministry came together and formed that evangelistic association. It was not the church that formed it. It was brethren that came together. They financed it. They bought vehicles for themselves. And they were going all over the country. And it is thanks to that ministry that almost every village or town, I mean to say, in the East has an inter-message believing church there. They went everywhere. There was revival. But suddenly, the whole thing died. Died. I told you people something some time ago. I said, listen, when we talk about the backsliding Christian, I told you, I said, a man that is on fire for God, then suddenly descends to the level of going into fornication. Somebody that has been on fire, living a sanctified life, at the end you see him caught with a woman. I say, it is not that day, that action he did, that got him backslided. He had backslided since. He was drifting and drifting and drifting and drifting. It is the stage where he has finally died that you see in fornication. In fornication. Nobody descends immediately to just say, na devil make me sleep with woman when not be my wife. No, you had been backsliding since, because the Bible speaks about the backslider at heart. Backsliding starts small, small. When Satan has an agenda against you, he doesn't come, blah. Nobody that is on fire for God will see a naked woman go and sleep with her. The fire is too much. You won't do that. You say that's devil. You chase her out. She will chase you out. Curse your manhood for attempting a daughter of God on fire. But by the time you see her reach a stage where she opened her leg for you, it didn't start that day. You did not entice her that day. Her heart, she was already long away from God. But she didn't know it. He didn't know it. Little things you do. And once there is a revival that is on like this, Satan starts his agenda. This church I am speaking of was the biggest church in Nigeria and maybe in West Africa here. That church was the only church known and recognized, because in 1990, when I came across the message and I wrote them, I needed materials from America. They wrote me back referring me to that church. He was the only link between message believers in Nigeria and our brethren in America. He was highly respected. He would go for sometimes 2 months from church to church in America. Ministry. They had high regards for him. He's the only one that has been able to bring the children of William Branham to Nigeria here in a convention in Nigeria here. That is who he is. But I am telling you now, this is a man that later on become the heir of his kingdom. Yes. This is the same man that later on took the title of Reverend. I'm telling you, it is not that title that he took that we said made him. They were already dead and they didn't know it. Until now, when the man died and we had cause to go for a condolence visit, and I saw the scanty number of people now in the church, and I knew how Satan has succeeded against a revival. It was when he drifted, nobody can stop the move of God. That was when God decided to leave that church and looked for another man, Moses Alu, to replace him. I believe it without sounding proud. And I know better that than to allow myself go the way he has gone. That's why God himself ministered to me that there is the enemies of revival. Things we should watch out for. And those are the things, by God's grace, we are watching out for. Thank God for my own time. It's not remaining much for the Lord to come. So any answer you are doing against me, Satan, before you succeed, we don't go. How many people believe it? Oh, praise the Lord. When they could not succeed the way they went, I told you that as poor as I was, so much in need of money, anytime I need money, they have brought 50 million naira to me. If I had collected that money, another spirit would have entered me. By a cocaine pusher. Another 40 million came. And at that time, 500,000 we no get for church. As at that time, I not be pay my house rent for Mavoluku when they brought 40 million naira. If I had collected it, another spirit will have entered. My sermon will have changed. And you will not know. You will be following me. I love my pastor. I love him. I love him. Enemies of revival. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm speaking. That is for the entire message. Now, bride assembly also. There is a revival that is on. Amen. And I am having my eyes wide open. And I thank God for the ministers here too. If a church is supposed to be dynamic, anything that has life, it grows. When I say it grows, yes, it grows in number, but more importantly, the purpose of the establishment of that church is seen clearer and clearer and clearer as it is being achieved. There are some things that we should not be speaking about again. We should not be speaking to women to know how to dress. If we still keep talking about it, because what we see, we must talk. It is evidence there is no spiritual growth. There must be both spiritual and physical growth. If there is anything here, there must be an attraction for people to come. Amen. There must be an attraction. But at the same time too, we must not just have increase in numbers, there must be increase in our spiritual growth. That is what we are watching out for. When you see somebody or people who have stayed here long enough, have had things that should make them change, and you see them getting more and more worldly and more carnal, a minister, a true minister, watching over such people will be worried. It's true. I have discovered that in all the entire message churches worldwide, all that I have come across, all, there are women dressed with long skirts. I don't know if I can see any sister that wear that kind of thing. Come. You come. No, not you. This young girl. You. The two of you, stand up, come. They are all young girls. They are not married. Come. The two of you. Come. See. I hope they can see. All over the world. This is what you see. All over the world. God bless you. Go and sit down. All over the world. It is number one evidence that woman is a believer of the faith. All over. Go into the net and try to punch any enter message churches. Just point enter message churches. Go to their picture archives and watch the sisters there. All of them. The truth is, they will not even allow you enter the church. Now, when we speak like this, you know what these carnal sisters will begin to do? These carnal sisters, I'm telling you, you are either converted or you are not. Some of them very long in the church. Some of them, Pastor Francis, you have sent them out. Pastor John Paul has sent them out of the church several times, telling them you are a disgrace to this ministry. And you know what? They will tell you, what's wrong with it? And one of them said, he said, we are young now. I want to make a dress like old woman. These people, are they dressing like old women now? Now, you know what they do? Sure, you want it long. They will now plaster it on their body. Tight it until you can see the lining of their buttocks. Then it is long. Sure, they say long. Hey, long now. Amen. Wait and see when we shall start environmental sanitation in this church. You will come here one Sunday, you will see very few sisters sitting down in the church here. That's the truth. Or we will put tent outside. You will not enter the auditorium. Hear from speaker outside. You make sure you don't enter this place. We will ensure it happens. We can't continue like that. It's the enemy that is smuggling in. You allow it, any other thing can happen. Enemies of revival. So we will watch ourselves as a ministry. I say it's threefold. The message, worldwide. The local ministry here, Bride Assembly Church. And why I say local? Because there are churches that have also sprung up around the world. There are ministries that are woken up from their slumber, enter message churches, after they get connected to our ministration. It has pleased God to use this ministry to spearhead the revival. God will always start it from somewhere. It is no pride. On Friday of our Holy Ghost program, a sister who came from another church said in the evening or so that they were sitting outside, and then suddenly the cloud changed as if there would be rain, and then suddenly she looked up and she saw another cloud within that black cloud. And the cloud formed. And then there was a figure it formed, and then was moving. Suddenly, it became the figure of a man moving from one end of the cloud to the other end of the cloud over the skies, over this building. According to how some members were outside there, and so many people saw it. I don't know if anybody heard about it. You heard about it? Brother Philip. Who else saw it? Give you microphone. Eh? Because I only heard it from her. She was surprised that I didn't hear about it.
Praise the Lord. Please, bear with my voice. On that fateful evening, it was during the Holy Ghost baptism program. I was moving outside there, and I saw some people looking up at the sky, and I was wondering what was happening. As I looked up, I saw the cloud. Then I saw something beyond the cloud. You know, just like this mystery cloud, yes, the one we have at the altar.
Yes.
It was a circle like that. It was moving from one side to the other. Then at a particular point in time, it changed. It looked like a man.
Uh-huh.
And we were wondering. It was, in fact, because I was engaged in doing some other things at the time, I left them at that point. But I saw it. What that sister saw, it is true. Praise the Lord.
You saw it too, brother. You saw it. And you took a picture of it.
All these pictures, all this one that you are seeing, that's the cloud.
You saw it until you attempted to snap it. Hey. And she said people were shouting, "See Jesus, see Jesus, see Jesus." People were excited. Hallelujah. No wonder that Friday night was the hottest. He came down by himself. He came down by himself. How can you witness that and think that he came here to entertain us? It's not entertainment. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The 1906 revival started with that old man, Simon. Everybody know about him. That brought about the Pentecostal move. Azusa Street. Everybody is making reference to Azusa Street. Now also, people will still start, message believers will be making reference to Bride Assembly. Yes. It's a revival. So we will not be stupid enough to go and sleep. Anywhere God is, Satan will make assignment against that place. That's why this message is important. That we call our attention to what we know as the enemies of revival. It is Apostle Paul warned us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that all the things that happened to all these Jews in the wilderness is an example for us. For he says, he who thinks he stands, take heed, lest he fall. Let's see, fall. Once God has decided to use this place, we know Satan will also be interested. We don't know how he will come, but when we watch and pray. Amen. We have enough history to learn from. I've just mentioned one church, Grace and Truth. There are many more. Then there is the individual revival. Individual revival. Just as he's against the church, he will also be planning against you that have received that life, that have received that revival. Oh, certainly you are a target. If there's anybody here, you have received the revelation of this present truth. You have received the word for this hour. God has opened your eye to see and understand and you have made up your mind to be a follower of God in this last age through the voice of the seventh angel, you are a target of the enemy. Don't wait for a prophet to tell you this. Where there is light, Satan gets attracted to it. So be ready. Hallelujah. So many of them. We mentioned three last week. We mentioned the lust of the flesh. Two. Say it. Pride. And number three, what? What are the gods of this age? Woman. Money. Popularity. These are some of the things that Satan uses to destroy revival. Today, we will look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. The fourth enemy. Maybe that is where we dwell for today. And I hope that we can conclude it next time. Matthew chapter 13. Listen. For the purpose of those who are always hearing us for the first time, we make emphasis like this. Verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which soweth good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the household came and said unto him, sir, did not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then had it tares? He said unto them, an enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather you together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barns. Remember, church, amen. Every revival produces these twins. Every revival produces twins. In the Garden of Eden, the revival produced what? Twins. Who are who? Cain and Abel was a product of the revival that was going on in that garden. Amen. The good seed was planted by Adam. The enemy came also and planted his own seed, Cain, in the same field. That is what the Bible calls as the mystery of iniquity. The mystery of iniquity. The mystery of iniquity. Amen. Twins in the same field. When they were to leave, another revival in the Bible, they were to leave Egypt for the promised land. A revival of contained about 2 million people. The Bible says that they were a mixed multitude. Moses was sent by God. He said, go and tell Pharaoh. What was the message? Let my people. Let my people go. My people, God knows his own. But was it only his people that left? Was it only his people that left? No. The Bible said they were a mixed multitude. That means by the time that I just picture what must have happened there. Certainly the Jews had friends that were Egyptians. If you are going, me, I will go with you. Anywhere you are going, I will go with you. I have seen that this synagogue is real. After all the pestilences that took place here, none of it came near you people in Goshen. Ah, your God is real. Your God will be my God. They follow. But is he among those? God said he should tell my people to go. And it's also possible that they married Egyptian wives. Eh? So those women will also follow. Am I correct? But God had warned them not to do mixed marriages. Anyway, some of them will even have house helps that will follow them. The Bible said they were a mixed multitude. Anytime there is a revival, it produces a mixed multitude. And remember that this is also an agenda by Satan. The evidence is from the beginning, how it happened in the Garden of Eden. He uses those mixed multitudes to penetrate the congregation. And you saw what happened at the end. Yes. But you may even say, okay, they are genuinely from the same father. Genuinely from the same father. I have two fathers here. Abraham had two children. One was Isaac. Another one was Ishmael. Two products of the same revival. They were in expectation of a child. Wow, we're expectation of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then it produced these two children, Ishmael and Isaac. Isaac, Uncle, he too, he was in expectation. 40 years, no child. He was in expectation. But when the revival will come, it produced Esau and Jacob. Now, each of them, you can see, were they of the same spirit? Were they of the same spirit? Ishmael and Isaac, was it the same spirit? Cain and Abel, was it the same spirit? Israelites and the Egyptians, not the same spirit, but they are products of the same revival. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the last revival before the church started, before we go to Pentecost, was Jesus' own revival. 12 disciples. And among those revival that was going on, there was a Judas among them. Amen. Hey, praise the Lord. You see, he said, Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he said, all these things are an example for us. The same pattern is still happening now, and it will continue until we go home. They are there for spiritual people to learn and know how to walk with God. There is nothing that happens in the church of Jesus Christ that surprises me. Do you know why? Because everything that is going on, there is a pattern in the Bible. There's a pattern in the Bible. When you hear that a spiritual brother is fornicating with a spiritual sister, I will take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. A Holy Ghost filled brother in a revival, he went and slept with his father's wife. Not even another woman anywhere. As abominable as it is. He's there. Why? Because the revival will produce two types of people. That is why I say, these two groups of people, one receives only an anointing, while the other one receives the promise of the Father. What God promised us was not an anointing. Anointing has been existing right from the days of Moses and Elijah and Elisha. There was anointing nyafu nyafu all over the land. The glory coming down, Israel saw it koro koro. What God promised was, despite all that anointing, he was going to release a power beyond the anointing that will strike the soul of a believer and transform that sinner to a saint. Transform a carnal person to a spiritual. You cannot be spiritual until you have the Spirit of God in you. Them that are led by the Spirit, they are the children of God. And the leading of the Spirit is not a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Walk it. This time now, He is coming to dwell in you and cause you to live a life that is pleasing before God. So which spirit did you receive? Time will show. It's not by the vision you see. It's not by the revelations you receive. By their fruits, you shall know them. So in every church, that setting is still there. No church is 100% seed of God. Because we don't have a thermometer to gauge. We don't have anything to know whether that person coming is of God or of the devil. So it's an open place. Everybody comes. We don't know. So how do we know who you are? He only told us, by their fruits we shall know them. So in every church we have the wheat planted by God Himself, known as the good seed. Now, when a seed is planted, it grows. Satan too has his own seed, known as the tares. He too plants his seed and it grows. The interesting thing about it all is that the circumstance that makes the wheat to grow is the same conditions that also make the tares to grow. It is by the same rain. But the difference is the limit that that rain gets to in the life of that person. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We see a perfect example, for instance, in Jacob and Esau. You notice that the Bible says that Isaac loved Esau so much because he was a senior. And one of the reasons he loved him, I am speaking the deep things of salvation. Listen very well. And these things are not in any book, in any bookshop. So listen. Notice that Isaac loved him. Because a lot of us here, and in the denominational world, the fact that God loves a man, it means that you are his seed. It's more than that. That you, sister, you paint yourself, dress naked, wear trousers, and go to church. And then before you know what, the anointing strikes you. And then you receive a miracle. That is God's love for you. But there are two types of love from God. That is the love that he gives to a concubine. And there's the love that he gives to his queen. You mistake it. All that you receive from him, concubine, nothing but gift, testimony, miracle, but you can never have the privilege that the queen will have. You can never be in the palace. You can never be in the rapture. But anointing, nyafu, you have it. Gifts, nyafu, we have it. As we see in Genesis chapter 25, where Abraham gave the sons of the concubines gifts, but the son of promise, Isaac, he gave all. There must be gifts in the church of Jesus Christ, and there must be a transformation of life visibly seen in that same place. praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But watch it. There are some things that we do that before you know what, you pass the boundary of repentance. And people don't know it. That's why he said, take heed. Now, listen, church. Don't mistake the teaching that once you are saved, forever you are saved. Listen, church. Once you are saved, forever you are saved. But listen, church. The salvation, your salvation has been determined from the foundation of the world by God through foreknowledge of the stand that you will take. That is where we miss it. God knows the person that will receive salvation and hold it and serve him in fear and trembling. And God knows that person that will receive salvation and turn grace to disgrace. He knows. The Bible says, before Esau and Jacob, before they were born, they were still in their mother's womb. By foreknowledge, he said, that is in Romans chapter 9, he said that Esau, I hate, Jacob, I love. Now, listen. God knew that he will sell his birthright. And in Israel, there is the law. Once you sell your birthright, you don't have it back again. He sought it with the whole of his heart. He looked for it. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 14. Are we there? Are we there? Verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail. Lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person. Profane, everybody shout profane. Profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. He called him a profane person. And there are profane Christians. Church, listen. It is your birthright to prosper. I don't know if I'm talking to somebody. Every benefit of Calvary is your birthright. But where? When you are born again, you are entitled to all the benefits of Calvary. They are your birthrights. Because you are born again, you are entitled to healing, you are entitled to deliverance, you are entitled to prosperity, you are entitled to live an overcoming life. You are entitled to every good thing. You are entitled. Now, but Esau, what he was entitled to, he lost it for a morsel of meal. And that brings you to know that there are Christians today that sell their birthright for what they will eat. I don't graduate now for 10 years, no work, I don't suffer. And this man said the only way we get that job is if I can sleep with him. And then you now go and you open your leg for that man to sleep with you. You have sold your birthright. You know, you will never get that right again. From now on, before you get your promotion, you will open your leg. Before you get anything, you will open your leg. From then on, nothing will come to you anymore unless you open your leg. You have sold your birthright. People don't know it.